Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
What would you think if you were watching an NFL game today on TV and one of the coaches of the team, the head coach, walked off the field, just quit in the middle of the game? Well, that actually happened in an early NFL game, and we have the story to tell about in just a moment on this Best of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast episode.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome to the podcast of PigskinDispatch.com as we go through the football history headlines of one date, October 16th. And we're going to start off in Chicago, Illinois, October 16th, 1921. The Rock Island Independents of the AFPA traveled to the Windy City to face the Chicago Cardinals. And according to RockIslandIndependents.com website, the Rock Island team manager Walter Flanagan sent a sub into the huddle on the field during the game who gave halfback Jim Konzelman this message: "You are now the coach at no increase in pay." Konzelman, who had just joined the team a few games earlier, became the youngest coach in the league when he took over as the head coach of the Rock Island Independents from Frank Coughlin. This is the only mid-game coaching change ever known in NFL history. And we think today that firings are bad after the fifth game. Our next event happens on October 16th, 1885, in Erie, Pennsylvania. Yes, Erie, Pennsylvania, the home of where this podcast broadcasts from. And it was the birth of Hunter Scarlett on that day. Hunter played end for the University of Pennsylvania Quakers from 1904 through the 1908 seasons. The 1908 season was special. Scarlett and halfback Bill Hollenbach provided the spark that led the Quakers to an 11-0-1 record and a national championship. That season, Penn outscored all of their opponents 215-18. The tie against the Pop Warner coach Carlisle Indians when the final ended at 6-6. The National Football Foundation selected Hunter Scarlett to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame in a year, 1991. The next stop on the timeline is October 16th, 1893, in New York City. That was when Harold Ballin was born and raised in the Big Apple. After successful education at the prestigious Lawrenceville School, where he was not able to make it onto the football team because his athleticism being, in his own words, underdeveloped, and according to the National Football Foundation's biography page on Harold, Ballin attended Princeton University and somehow he progressed enough to make it on the Tigers' fourth and final unit of the freshman football team. His sophomore season was average at best, but as a junior, he was playing tackle for the Tigers in 1913, and he was an All-American as his body grew up to be a 180-pound blocking machine. Princeton Hall of Fame running back Hobie Baker had a tremendous season running behind Ballin's blocking. Harold's senior season saw him bulk up another 14 pounds, and he became the team's captain and won his second consensus All-American recognition honor. The National Football Foundation body voted in 1973 to select Harold Ballin to enter into the College Football Hall of Fame. We hope right now, while you're taking this little break from our football history, that you'll hit the subscribe button on this podcast player, and also that you'll email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. And now a couple words from one of my buddies at the sportshistorynetwork.com.
This is Jeremy McFarland from the Footballist Family Podcast. And I'm going to encourage you, if you get a chance, to come over to the Footballist Family Podcast, where we look at what makes football special and family to each person. We talk about each team and we talk about the stories behind why fans love those teams. I encourage you to come and join us in our discussion. Thank you.
We flip forward in time to October 16th, 1945, Knoxville, Tennessee, and that's when D.D. Lewis came into this world. D.D. is not our typical Hall of Fame story. According to the National Football Foundation's bio on him, his college team at Mississippi State had only won a total of 7 games in the 3 seasons Lewis was on the team. Fortunately, the Hall of Fame is not as much weighted on his team, but more for the individual's performance of a player. This was the case for D.D. Lewis, who made the All-Southeastern Conference twice and the All-American team once in 1967. Opposing coaches such as Bear Bryant of Bama and Vince Dooley of Georgia raved about the linebacker and said things to the effect that he was one of the very best backers in the country. For his great play at linebacker, D.D. Lewis entered into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2001's selection class. We fast forward exactly 1 year to October 16, 1946, into Houston, Texas. Then University of Texas running back Chris Gilbert was born. The website footballfoundation.org informs the reader that 29 games played as a Longhorn, Gilbert ran for 3,231 yards, scored 28 touchdowns, and was the very first player in recorded NCAA history to have 3 seasons where he ran over 1,000 yards. Chris was an All-Southwest Conference 3 straight years and a consensus All-American in 1968. In 2 games against Baylor University, he rushed for over 200 yards in each game and went over the 200-yard mark in a 1968 game against TCU. The National Football Foundation in 1973 selected Chris Gilbert to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame. He ended up being drafted by the New York Jets in the pros, but he never played in a game for them. We gotta change 15 calendars and go to October 6, 1961, and that's when All-Star Chris Dolman was born. Chris Dolman was drafted by the Minnesota Vikings out of the University of Pittsburgh with the 4th pick in the 1985 NFL Draft, and as a linebacker, according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame's website bio on him. At some point in his second season, Dolman was moved to play defensive end, and he showed great improvement, putting up 11 sacks in 1987. In 1989, he led the NFL with 21 sacks. After the 1992 season, he was voted as the NFC's Defensive Player of the Year after he put up an additional 14.5 sacks on the year. Chris played a total of 15 NFL seasons, 9 with the Vikings, a couple in Atlanta, and his final ones at San Francisco as a 49er, and did another stint with Minnesota to end his career. He ended up with 150.5 career sacks, as the 4th most in NFL history. Chris Dolman entered into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio in 2012's enshrinement class. I'm looking out at the defense, and I got backers crowding the line. I'm going to call an audible and get on out of here. Tune in tomorrow for more Pigskin Dispatch. If you want to get contact us, we're at pigskindispatch@gmail.com, and we'll see you tomorrow, folks. We encourage you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, and hit us up on the email, pigskindispatch@gmail.com. See us on Twitter and Facebook, too, and subscribe to this podcast. We'd love to hear from you.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.